Now, Lord, the entrance of your word, we know, brings light. Shed that light in our hearts this morning. Give us understanding. Glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. And let the people of God be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. And I get everybody to say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sure you can do better than that. Somebody can get a better hand clap if they score a touchdown tonight. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Let me share this message with us and let's see what the Lord is going to do for you. Yeah, you may already know, you know, what a message, the topic or the contents of a message as it's being preached. But you open your heart anyway, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, don't say, well, I already know that and so forth. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And God puts a different anointing in every service. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this morning, let God fight your battles. Amen?
Amen?
That's right. Let God fight your battles. And I'm going to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from verses 3 through about 6. And just to describe what kind of battles we are talking about. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
Now, if I read something that you agree with, or you know your spirit agrees with, you're free to say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Casting down imaginations,
amen,
and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in our lives,
amen,
and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a residence in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. So right away we see from this scripture that we're talking about a spiritual warfare. You're not fighting flesh and blood, folks. Amen. Well, I mean, if you get into an arena, a boxing match physically with somebody, then maybe you are fighting flesh and blood. But we're in a spiritual arena. We're not, you know, fighting flesh and blood. This is what the Bible is saying here. You know, so we're not, this is not, it's not about, you know, those, somebody did this or somebody did the other thing and so forth. You know, it's not about that at all. It's about, you know, us trusting the Lord to fight our battles. Amen. And that's what I'm going to be talking about here this morning. And then I'm going to read you some examples and some stories from the Bible and so on. You know, so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This text here describes the ultimate warrior. You know, all of the things that he puts on in his armor and so on. And but we're told here in verse 10, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, you got to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
You know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the same thing we just read in the other chapter. This is, our fight is not against flesh and blood, folks. But we are fighting against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, if you don't know that these things are existing, then you are living in a fantasy world. And the devil is probably playing ping pong with your life. And you don't even know it. These things are going on. The enemy is raging, you know, battle against the children of God all the time. But we must understand what kind of battle we are fighting. You know, there are the proper rules of engagement when you engage in a battle. And if you don't understand your battle, or you don't even understand your enemy, you're just going to be doing, you know, I don't know what you'll be doing. Paul one time said, well, I don't fight like somebody that's beating the air. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I said, but I fight precisely. I know exactly where to hit. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I'm not going to go into all of the weaponry and armor that he describes in this particular chapter. But I just wanted to point out to us that, look, we are fighting against spiritualities, powers, principalities, all of these things. But remember, we are seated in Christ far above principalities and powers. Amen? We preached that message already a couple of months ago. So we are already above, you know. So, but, you know, the fight is still going on. So, but I want to concentrate today on, you know, us trusting the Lord, you know, to fight some battles for us. Now, there are some battles that we can fight. There are some battles that the Lord is going to have to fight for us, especially when the thing is beyond your control. Amen. 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 You know, and we're going to see these stories, you know, of people in the Bible. Now, we must, you know, these stories that I want to read to you today, these are stories of great conquests, you know, because, you know, of letting God fight their battles. We have many stories in the Bible such as these, but I just picked out a few, you know, because of time. You know, so we're going to start here with the story of Moses. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14, when God was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came up against the Red Sea. The Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and his troops behind them. Well, and they didn't know what to do, and the people began to chide Moses. This is Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 13. And they said to Moses, well, you know, this is what we said. You should have left us, you know, where we were. Why do you bring us out here, you know, in the wilderness to die and so forth, you know? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. Well, that's confidence speaking, you know. But look at the next verse. What he says in the next verse. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, so when the Lord's fighting for you, God doesn't need any help. Amen?
Amen,
amen, folks. God doesn't need any assistance when he's fighting for you, because he's a man of war, you know, and he knows how to take care of business. So, you know, you just stay out of the way, hold your peace, and let God take care of business. And the Lord, when the Lord fights your battle, you are sure to come out on the winning side, because God can never lose a battle. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you agree with that, you can say amen.
Amen.
God will never lose a battle. So the rest of the story you may know, and if you don't know it, go read it. I don't have time to go into all that story. But God did fight their battles. They went through the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea on every side, and they went through as on dry land. And the Egyptians tried to do that. God just suckered them in. When they got right in the middle of the Red Sea, he poured the whole thing down on them, and Pharaoh and his chariots, they all drowned. And the Lord got the victory over the enemies of the people of God that day, and the Lord made himself a great name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord will make himself a name.
Amen.
You know, in your situation and through your situation, if you turn it over to him and let him fight your battles. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, there is a declaration of faith when you understand that God is able to do this. And I'm going to read some stories now of people that declare their faith even when they are outnumbered. See, when problem outweighs you and so forth. These people, of course, in the natural, they were fighting, you know, wars and so forth like that. But, you know, we can use that to also understand spiritual things. You know, some of these people, they were overwhelmed, you know, naturally speaking, but they put their trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to read something here that Jonathan, the son of Saul, he said here in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And let's read verse 6. I'm interested mostly, not in all the exploits that he did, but this particular statement that he made here, because it bears out a point with this message. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. May be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Hallelujah, somebody. It doesn't make the Lord a difference. In fact, sometimes when the people are too many, we saw that in the story of Gideon. You know, I don't want to go into that today, but they were too many. There was a mixed crowd. God got rid of all of them. He chiseled down the crowd, pruned them down from 32,000 to just 300, you know, at the end of the day. You know, so got rid of all of them. Now, you know, this man, he made a point here. He said, look, there is no restraint for the Lord. The people that we are going up against, there are many, many more times than us. But if the Lord be on our side, you know, there is no restraint. You know, we can be few, but we can still beat the ones that are many. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, when you put your trust in the Lord like that, he will fight your battles. Now, let's look at a similar statement. This one was made by Asa, you know, one of the kings of Judah at that time. You know, so I'm going to read this. This story is in a couple of different places, but I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and I'm reading from verse 8. Now, this is Asa going up against the Ethiopians. You have to read the background story, but I don't want to read the background story. But I'm picking up this story, but there were many, many more. I mean, there were a lot more in number than what he had. The people, the armies that he was going up against were tremendously larger in size than what he had. You know, so, but I want to pick up the story here in verse 8. And Asa had an army, you know, that he had an army that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000 and so forth like that, you know, so he began to look at what he had. And he said, wow, you know, I don't even have enough to go up against these people, because the other people had like a million people, you know. And he said, well, you know, but listen to this statement. He said in verse 9, there came out against him Ethiopians with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots. That's 1.3 million that these people had, you know, and they just completely outnumbered him. And he just had, you know, he has about 300,000 and so forth like that, and another 200 people. So, you know, maybe he had, you know, 204,000 in one place. That's about 280,000, maybe for 300. Maybe he had 580,000. I don't know. But he had to go up against 1.3 million. You know, so he was completely outnumbered already. You know, you have to read all of the story to get all the numbers. So, in verse 19, Asa sent out against him and set battle in the valley of Zephathah in Marashah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. This is a verse that I want to stress. See, he saw that the battle was set in array, but he knew that he was outnumbered, man for man. You know, and if they had to take their battle, hand-to-hand battle, they were completely outnumbered. But he cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. How many of you can say amen? Same thing that Jonathan said. The Lord can help with many or even people that have no power at all. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Hallelujah. In another place it says, our eyes are upon thee. You know, so we rest upon thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Amen. Amen. And when you tell the Lord that, Lord, you are my strength, you are my help, in thee I trust, and you are my hiding place, fight my battles. When you say that, the Lord will flex his arms. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So the Lord flexed his arms in the next verse. And he smote those Egyptians. He just smote them. You know, when he said the Lord smote, the Lord doesn't need help from Asa and his 580,000 people. God can just wipe those people out. And he took care of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because this man trusted in the Lord rather than in the numbers that he had. You know, so we see a very valuable lesson here. That God can save, you know, by few or by many. It makes the Lord no difference. He can even do things, you know, that, you know, through people that have no power at all. The Bible said to them that have no power, increase in strength and so on. And it takes the feeble and the weak things of this earth to confound the mighty and the wise. Amen. Amen. So God can do all that. Praise the Lord. Now let's read the story of Jehoshaphat. That thing runs in the family line there. Let's read the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I preached on this in the church many times. Jehoshaphat chapter in 2 Chronicles. In this case, they had the Moabites and the Amorites and people from Mount Seir and so on. I mean, three different companies that came against them, and they were completely overwhelmed. You know, and as they were thinking about it, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man in the assembly called Jehaziel in verse 14. And he said, he was the son of Zechariah, and he said unto them, you know, he said, hearken ye, verse 15, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. See, now Jehoshaphat could have said, well, gee, you know, I'm going to do it by myself, and then God would have stepped back. But when God speaks, that's, look, I'm going to be your captain. You know, then you let God take care of business. Amen. Tomorrow you go down against them and do all these things and so forth. You know, and then verse 17 says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Even though you are going out to present yourself, you won't need to fight. Just set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And be not dismayed. You know, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. And as soon as Jehoshaphat, this is the best part of the story, as far as I'm concerned, that I learned, you know, in verse 18. Once he heard the word of promise, he bowed down and he worshipped. Hallelujah. You know, when God speaks the promise of deliverance to you, you better bow down and worship. Or lift up your head and worship, whichever way you do it, but you worship the Lord. For the Lord will keep the word that he has spoken. Amen. And Jehoshaphat said, well, my goodness. So he worshiped the Lord, and he assembled, you know, the singers and the praise team and all those people according to the commandment of David and so on. And he put the singers in front of the army. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, well, most people wait until their battle is won before they praise the Lord. Jehoshaphat said, well, the Lord has already spoken. Let the praise team go in front. Amen. Of course, the praise team, they were not, you know, they were not skilled in battle. They didn't know anything. All they had was tambourines and trombones and all of these things and so forth like that. But he put them in front of the army, and the army was in the back. I mean, that sounds foolish, but the Lord already said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Praise God. So he's acting on the word of the Lord. You know, when the Lord tells you something, act upon it. So he was acting on it because the Lord said, I'm not going to need to fight. So, let the praise team go in front there. So he put the praise team in front, and the Bible says, listen to this. You know, the Bible says, when he had consulted in verse 21, he, you know, consulted with the people that knew how to sing very well and do all of these things, he put them in front and said, you know, go forward and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever, and all that. So he put them in front. Listen, he said, he went out before the army. So they were in front. And verse 22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise, hallelujah. The army was behind them, but the singers were in front. Well, I tell you something, folks. Singing praise and worship to God is a powerful weapon. Amen. Yeah. You may not think that. You may think, you know, they have to get the spear and the axe and a bow and all those things they have. But no, you know, the praises went forth and the Lord began to move. The Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And they were consumed, you know. Those people that came against Judah, they were smitten before them. And what did the Lord do? There were three companies, A, B, and C. And the Lord made company A to begin to fight with company B. Then he made company C to be able to fight with company B. And then he made B to fight with C. And he just made C to fight with A. And they were just fighting one another. Each one thought that The company they were fighting was Judah. Amen? Because that's how God sent ambushments against them. And they destroyed one another. And God, you know, these people of God didn't even have to do anything, but they just praised the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when you look at multitudes and things that overwhelm you, you know, one time Elisha, you know, he said, they that are with us, you know, are more than they that are over there. And his servant said, I don't see anybody with us except these donkeys and so forth. And Elisha said, well, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire. Woo! Chariots of fire, folks. You may not see, but the Lord is with you. Amen. Praise God. If you open your eyes, you will actually see the angel of the Lord. Because the Bible says, I promise you this. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord. And if you are fearing, if you are someone that fears the Lord, the angel of the Lord is always with you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's not, you don't need to pray about that. You just need to worry about fearing the Lord and walking in his ways. If you do that, it is automatic that the angel of the Lord is taking his guard position around you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, so we see all these wonderful stories. Now let's look at Hezekiah. Remember, these things run in the family. You know, David, their great grandfather, he knew how to do these things. I'll read his story also in a minute. But, you know, and all these people, you know, they are all in his lineage there, Asa and Jehoshaphat and so forth. Now, here comes Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah, this story is actually in three chapters in the Bible. I found it in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I found it in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. And I found it in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. You know, but I'm going to pick a combination of the stories that I want to read. Now, remember, it's in all over the place, but I'm just going to pick this combination. So I'm going to read this one in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And if you want to mark it down for reference, you can also look at Isaiah chapters 36 and 37, the two chapters. You can also look at 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. But there is something I want to bring out here in this rendition that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I want to read verses 1 to 8. Now after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against defense cities. Now, we know that story. It's in the other chapters, but there's something in this one that comes out a little clearer. So I chose to read this one. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was proposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes. Now, that's Hezekiah. And with his mighty men to stop the waters of fountains that were without the city. So he said, look, why should these people come, you know, who are camping outside the city and they should get water and so forth? Let's cut off their water so they won't be able to, you know, survive. You know, so they did that. Now that this story, that part of the story is in the other places as well. So there was gathered to him much people, and they stopped all the fountains and so forth and the brook that ran through the midst of the land. And they say, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also, he strengthened himself, and he built up the walls that were broken, and he raised it up without help, and all these things that he did. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together. This is verse 6, and so on. And he spake comfortably unto them, saying, verse 7 is where I'm going, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all that multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. He actually did not have more in numbers, but he was talking spiritually. He said, look, we got more with us, and I love this part. And listen to verse 8. For with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord God, our help, to help us. Amen. Amen. And to fight our battles. Amen. Folks, when you let God fight your battles, God is enough. You know, and no matter the number, you know, no matter what faces you, no matter what confronts you, you will win. Amen. Amen. And then, you know, so the people, they were outnumbered, you know, but Hezekiah, he said, look, he is God, the arm of flesh, but we've got the Lord God of hosts. Praise the Lord. And the odds are stacked in your favor every time that the Lord is on your side. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So, You know, that's the part that I wanted to read. This chapter brings that out more clearly than the other chapters. So he gave an encouragement to his people like that and said, look, God's with us. They've only got the arm of flesh, but we got the Lord. So don't worry about it. You know, then I want to turn here to the other part of the story in Isaiah chapter 36. And I want you, when you have time, you read these two chapters, 36 and 37. They're very interesting. You know, all the things that happened, but I don't have time to read all of it and all that. So, but you know, if you read the whole chapter and see what the Lord did for them and so forth, you know. And but at the end of the day, the Lord, he delivered them by a mighty hand. You also can turn to 2 Kings chapter 18 and see what the Lord did for them there, you know, in chapters 18 and 19. And when the Lord finally, he moved, the Bible says the angel of the Lord moved for the people, and in one night, the Lord went out and slew 185,000 of their enemies. And when they woke up in the morning, they were all dead corpses. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because they trusted in the Lord, and the Lord fought their battles. You know, I don't want to go into reading the whole story, but you can read it yourself. And now, also, let me turn to the story of David. You know, I love to preach about David, and hardly can I preach a sermon like this without somehow throwing the name of David in the mix. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I left his part for the last, you know, but, you know, of course, he was the one that set the pattern for this, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so forth. You know, but let's look at his story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And some of you may know the story as David against Goliath. You know, so that's the story there. But that's not the part that I want to concentrate on. We already know that story. We've preached on it many times. But I want to concentrate on how David approached this battle versus how the others approached it. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse 26. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26. Now, when David came to check out his brethren, because that's what his dad sent him to go and look, you know, check out the welfare of his brethren that are in the battle. When he came there, he found out that, you know, there was all kinds of things going on. You know, somebody was going around harassing everybody, challenging them, and nobody could do anything about it. And David kept asking, what's going on here? I mean, who is this man? You know, what's going on? You know, and they told him, they said, well, this man, every single day. Now, listen to this. They told David, they said, this man, every single day, he has been defying the armies of Israel. That's what they told David. He has been defying the armies of Israel and so forth. And he has been coming out here and telling us, send us a captain to fight with me. Why should everybody fight? Let one of us fight with the other person, and whoever wins the fight, then their side has won, and so far the others must surrender. You know, so the other side must surrender. So they said, this man has come to defy the armies of Israel. But listen to what David said. David said, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So David, already in his mind, he's taking this to a spiritual level. You know, the people are saying, well, he's defying Israel. David said, no, this man is defying the living God himself. So, you know, he said, well, you know, this man is uncircumcised. I'm going to take care of him. You know, they said, well, Saul said, you can't do it. You don't even have, training. And David said, well, I'll tell you something, sir. You may think that I'm just a little lad. I don't have training. Well, maybe not. But I know the rock God. Amen. Praise God. You know, and one time I was keeping my father's sheep in the bush and so forth, and there was this lion that came up, took one of them, you know, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't afraid of the lion. I went after him because he took something that belonged to me. And I got a hold of him and slew him and rescued the kid. And the king said, you got to be kidding. He said, well, that's not all. After that, even a bear rose up against me. And when he rose up like this, he was like 9 foot tall. You know how those big bears, when they rise up and so forth, you know. And he said, well, I didn't care nothing about it. You know, I knew the Lord that is with me is greater than this bear. Amen. Amen. You know, and I slew him also, and I rescued the kid from him. and the Lord who delivered the lion and the bear into my hands, the same God will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine, and I'm going to take care of business today. Amen. And I will remove the reproach from Israel today by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so this man, he wouldn't back down from anything because he knew the Lord. Now, he was the least qualified person because he wasn't even in the army. His brothers were in the army. He was a shepherd boy. He was the least qualified. In fact, his older brother, Eliab, was scolding him and said, "What are you doing here? I know your pride. You come out here to spy out the army, I mean the fight that's going on and so forth." And David said, "What fight? I don't see any fight. I just see a bunch of seizures." Amen. Praise the Lord. What? Is there no cause? All of you are cowering here. You know, leave me alone. You know, this man is defying the armies of the living God. And something must be done about it to take away the reproach this day. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Qualify for battle or not, I know the God whom I serve. Praise the Lord. I've seen a few fights. You guys don't know nothing about it. You know, so, you know, amen, folks. Every battle of the warrior is with confused knowledge, sir. But this shall be with garments rolled in blood. Isaiah 9 and 7. You know, when God, when he is doing all of this, when people are fighting, you know, it's confused and so forth. Well, when God comes, he just slays all your enemies. Praise ye the name of the Lord. God, he knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. So, of course, let's pick up the rest of the story here in verse 45 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Long chapter, so I skipped all of it. And verse 45, now, of course, in verse 44, this Philistine, he saw David coming. David went back to the brook where he used to sing some of his praises, you know, and so forth. He leads me beside the still waters and all the places where he'd been. So he went back to the place that he was comfortable with. Amen. He wasn't comfortable with all that thing that the king tried to put on him, the armor, the spear, and all these things. He got rid of them. He went back to the place where he used to connect with God. And he said, "Well, I know this place, you know." So the Holy Spirit moved upon him, and he picked out 5 stones, and then he just put it in his brook, in his bag, and he went, you know. And he had just the shepherd's staff in his hand, you know. And when the Goliath saw him, he said, "Are you kidding me? Am I a dog that you're coming out against me with a staff?" And David muttered under his voice, "Thou sayest." Amen. "Well, you say you are a dog, you know, you are a dog then, you know." And then he said, "Look, come to me." You know, the man was boasting, "I'm going to kill you," and so forth like that. And David said to him in verse 45, "Thou comest against me with a sword and a spear and a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David was standing up for the name of the Lord. And the Lord, he put it upon him there for an example for us to see. And of course, the rest of the story goes with just one sling. And David was a perfect marksman. We had some people like that in Israel that could mark. The Bible said they could sling a stone at a hair's breadth, and they wouldn't miss. And David was somebody like that. He could sling, and he found one spot in his armor that was empty, you know, that, I mean, it's, you know, just around his, and he sunk that stone right in there. Praise the Lord. And I believe the angel of the Lord guided it too, and he sunk right there. And the man, he just fell down, you know, and the next, before he did anything, David was on top of him. David didn't even have a sword. So he had to grab this man's sword. When he grabbed it, probably was initially too heavy for him, but he managed to take it up and cut off the guy's head. And as soon as the rest of the camp of the Philistines saw that their champion was destroyed, they all left and fled. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Of course, by the time, you know, all these other people that we read about, Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and all of this came along, they already knew the conquest of David, their father, their great father. You know, so they said, "Wow, you know, the Lord is with us as well." Amen. "And if the Lord be for us, who can be against us?" And David, because of all the things he went through in his life, he wrote some of these psalms, and he wrote this in 2 psalms, in Psalm 60 and verse 12, and Psalm 108 and verse 13. You can read either one. Put up Psalm 60, verse 12. He says the same thing as Psalm 108, verse 13. It says, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is God that will fight your battles. Amen. And it is God that will tread down your enemies. And if you let God do it, you come out on the winning side. Amen. Put up Psalm 108 and verse 13. And he says the same thing. He says, through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is, sir, that shall tread down our enemies. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Amen. Now let's look at some of the ways that David encouraged himself. You know, Psalms 27. And I'm going to read perhaps the first six verses or so. You can read the whole psalm, and I'm sure you will enjoy it, and the Lord will bless your heart. You know, but let me just read a few verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, when they came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Amen. Who do you think made them to stumble and fail? He wasn't doing anything. The Lord taking care of business for him. Amen. Amen. The Lord was fighting his battle. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, because I already know that one with the Lord is more than the majority. Amen. Some people say one with God is majority. It's even more than the majority, because God is more than the majority. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, so though an host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. And though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident, because I know that he that is with me is greater. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Turn with me. 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Do you have faith in the Lord this morning? You know, the Bible says over and over in many places that, you know, the Lord helped them because they trusted in him. You know, when you trust in the Lord, when you make God your captain to fight your battles, my goodness, you will win every time. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now listen to this. When you turn over, this is what I wrote. When you turn over the battle to the Lord and let him fight your battles, you will always come out on the winning side, because God can never lose a battle. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? Well, let the people praise him this morning then. Let the people praise him. Psalm 67. Let all the people praise him. Give the Lord a praise in the house if you know that God will fight your battles and that you will win. Well, let's talk about some of these battles then. We've talked generically about your God fighting your battles. But what are these battles? Well, it's everything, anything that you face on a daily basis. You know, look, I tell you something, folks. When David went up against Goliath, the man was about, 9 feet tall, whatever he was, you know, all that David could remember when he was looking at the man, he remembered how that bear stood up against him. And the bear was just as big when he stands up, but just as big as Goliath, perhaps even bigger, because some of those bears, when they stand up, they can get very big. How many of you know that? Amen. That's right. You know, so the Lord already prepared him step by step. You know, so by the time he got to Goliath, when he was looking at Goliath, he was just looking at the bear. He didn't even think of Goliath at all. But just remembering the bear. Oh, I slew that bear. I'm going to take care of this one also in the name of the Lord. You know, so everything that you are going through, whenever you face anything, you must win that battle. Amen. Amen. You can't afford to lose a battle. Lose this one. No, you must win every single battle. Because every battle you win is preparing you for something else. Yeah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Yeah. And if you don't win the battle, you're probably going to have to fight the battle again. Fight it again until you learn the lesson and until you win and until you know how to put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so you must win every battle. You know, win every battle, climb every mountain, scale every obstacle. Don't let nothing put you down. Amen. Another scripture says, quit ye like men. You know, stop, you know, getting pushed around. You know, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, how do you be strong in the Lord? Well, you take on the Lord for your captain. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. And everything that you're facing, you know, sometimes even sickness and disease and so on and so forth like that. Look, I tell you something. You know, even an infection sometimes can put you down. You know, because when people are healthy and doing well and so forth, they don't think anything about it, you know, instead of giving praise to the Lord. You know, and then the next thing you know, something small can put you down, you know. But that's when you got to put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's right. Put your trust in the Lord. Because if you do, God can keep you healthy. And if sickness should come and so forth, He'll heal you too because He already healed you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've got to stand your ground and put your trust in the Lord. And then there are sometimes, you know, there are challenges in the family. There's situations in your marriage, your children, your this and your that, and so forth. Things that you can't even, you know, handle sometimes. Let God fight your battles. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Fight the battles. You know, the Lord will for you. And you come out on the winning side. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And here's a word for parents and children. You know, but I don't have this prepared. God just dropped it into my mind. You know, and this is for the children especially, you know, if you are a rebellious and a child that wouldn't listen to correction and so forth, you know, and parents is trying to do everything they can, well, God help you if that parent turns you over to the Lord. Because the way the Lord will deal with you will be more serious than the way that parent will deal with you. I promise you that. You know, and that's a word of wisdom, both for the parents and for the children. You know, when the parents still trying to do, they're probably protecting you and so forth. If they turn you over to the Lord, you will be so sorry. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord will take care of that business, you know. But, you know, still, the parents must turn it over to the Lord. You know, turn it over to the Lord and let God take care of it. Amen. Turn your marriage, whatever it is, you do the best you can, and things that you can't control, turn it over to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You are on the job also. You are overwhelmed with your job. You know, well, you know, one of the things that you may be surprised to find out, you know, later on, when you stand before the Lord may challenge you that you didn't trust me with that situation. You may be surprised to find that out. Because that my strength is sufficient for you, and my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect for you even in your weakness. Amen? Amen. That's what the Lord told Paul. You know, so if you are struggling with a situation that you think you are overwhelmed with, it is probably because you are not trusting the Lord with that situation. You haven't entrusted it to the Lord, and you haven't given it over to the Lord to fight your battles, and you are trying to do it with the arm of flesh. Well, the arm of flesh can only go so far. But the arm of the Lord is the everlasting arm. Amen. Amen. And every other aspect of life where you may have challenges, you can think about it on your own. You turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord help you. Now, some of the problems that we face in life, you know, could be some challenges from the devil, like we heard last week. Some things that came upon us, maybe sometimes we don't use wisdom and so forth. But nonetheless, no matter where you find yourself at any point in time, come to your senses and turn it over to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And He will bail you out. Amen. And if you can give the battle to the Lord from the onset, then you don't have to be battle torn and bruised and broken before you. You know, some people wait until they be beaten up so badly and bruised and broken and bloodied by the devil and so forth before they reach out to the Lord. Well, you need to reach out to the Lord before even all of that. Amen. That's one of the reasons why we encourage people to pray. Jesus said, pray that you fall not into temptations and crises and all of these things. Well, disciples, they decided to sleep and all kinds of things befell them, you know. But we must pray. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Turn your battles over to the Lord. Let God fight your fights. Let's stand up to our feet here this morning. Stand up to your feet every morning, everybody here in this house today, and let's believe the Lord. I want you to say in your heart, I want to turn it over to the Lord. It's a song we used to sing. It says, Jehovah is a man of war, and so forth. I can't even remember the song right now. But our God is a man of war. As a matter of fact, he doesn't need the instruments that we usually think of when we are thinking about warfare. You know, that's even in the natural. You know, he doesn't need any of that. God doesn't even need to lift a finger. You know, all he has to do is send one angel down there and they'll take care of business. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you are believing God, you know, God, you know, we see some stories in the Bible that give us an insight about this, where God can say, well, who's going to go down there and make this thing happen? You know, we saw one story like that where it was a negative thing that God wanted to make happen, you know, to Ahab so that the word of the Lord will come to pass. But from that, we get an insight that God may be saying the same thing to his council of angels when he goes and say, well, I want you to go down there and make sure that my son or my daughter gets the victory. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. Because they are trusting in me. Praise the Lord. And even before the Lord has to say anything, you know, the angels, you know, that excel in strength, we're told in Psalm 103 and verse 20, they are already waiting for the voice of his word. And if you can speak that word, if you can command by faith and believe the word of the Lord and trust in the Lord and put it in God's hands, then the angels can move into operation on your behalf. Praise the Lord. You say angels? Why, sure. Because the Bible says they are ministering spirits. They are sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. You know, and minister on our behalf as well. There are some fights that we can't fight, you know, but God, you know, the angels can take care of it, you know, and so forth. You know, what we must do is we must be strong in the Lord. You must trust in the name of the Lord for your defense and for your salvation. Can you say praise the Lord? Now listen to this in Psalm 67. And I'm going to use this to challenge us to praise the name of the Lord today. Psalm 67. Remember, Jehoshaphat, when he heard that the Lord is going to fight his battle, what he did was to begin to praise the Lord. Now, God be merciful unto us and bless us. God cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. And I get some praise in the house. You're too quiet here this morning. Come on, somebody. Let the people praise the Lord here this morning. Put the praise ahead of the battle here this morning. Oh, let the nations be glad and let them sing for joy. You know, the Bible says again in verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. When the people begin to praise the Lord, he said, then shall the earth yield her increase. That's when real blessings will come, when the people begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall fight our battles and we shall hold our peace. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord here this morning. Let the people praise. Come on, people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the praise team come on up. Let the praise team come on up. And let the people shout the victory. Come on. Keep on clapping for the Lord and praising the name of the Lord. Lift up your voice here today and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the people praise the Lord. And those of you that came out earlier that had pain, no, praise and shout the victory. Your pain is gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let the people praise the Lord. 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 Give me a song of praise. Let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord, everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, folks, when we put our praises ahead of the battle, then the Lord will go ahead of us. And he will fight the battle and he will win. Amen.